You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic this month in WordPress and Tech. It's our first roundtable show of 2026. We've had a couple of months off, Thanksgiving and Christmas just came in the way. But we're back. We've got a great regular panel, plus we've got a great guest with us as well. We're going to be discussing some of the best stories of the month in WordPress and tech in general. I'm going to let our guest introduce himself, Matt. Matt, would you like to introduce yourself to the tribe?
Of course. Thanks, everyone, for having me on. Super excited. My name is Matt Swartz. I'm out of Atlanta. I run an agency called Inspree. We're a WordPress agency since 2011 and a SaaS automated testing platform called CheckView, specifically for WordPress. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and he's a brave soul, but you must know what he's getting involved with. I've got Heather with me, my friend Heather. Heather, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, I'm Heather Wild-Renzi. I am the CTO of The Difference, and I am also known as the Unicorn Whisperer.
That's great. I've got the only Spencer Forum. Spencer, would you like to introduce yourself?
Staying warm in Chicago, Spencer Foreman from WP Launchify.
That's fantastic. Got Mark with us. Mark, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Mark Benzikane. I am with Main WP, and I handle partnerships and marketing. And I'm out here in overcast Northern California, Northern-ish California.
You're terrible. And I've got my great co-host, my regular co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own a company called Mañana No Mas, and I work directly with the great folks over at WP Tonic as well.
Yeah, like I say, we've got some great stories. We're going to be discussing the interview that Matt Mellenweg did recently. Plus, we're going to be talking about AI, taking the ads, OpenAI, and a load of other great WordPress and tech stories. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. Also want to point out we've got some great special offers from the sponsors of the show, plus a created list of the best WordPress plugins and services aimed at the power user, freelancer, or small agency owner. You can get all these fabulous free goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals, and you'll find all the goodies there, my beloved tribe. What more could you ask for? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get from that.
I'm not going to say it, are
we? Yeah, there we go. I've made a career of disappointment. So there we go. It always gets a few laughs, that does. I don't know why. So let's go straight in it. The Do the Woo podcast with James Kemp and friend of the show, Katie Keefe, CEO and founder of Barn2, had a fantastic interview with Matt Mellenweg last week. He covered a lot. They covered a lot around WooCommerce and AI and things in general. So let's start. Let's start with Spencer. So Spencer, was there any core things that struck you about this interview?
Well, one of the things I want to start with, and my good friend Kurt Von Annen has been a regular to my office hours and stuff, is that about Christmas of 2024, when I had it about up to here with Mullenweg and WordPress on this show, I said, I'm going to do something other than complain this year. So I'm going to be fair. I read the article and I love Katie and the way she handles herself. But like listening to Matt, like a broken 78 record, just every question that was asked, he had a different answer for it that had nothing to do with the question asked. And I got to be honest with you, it's a really nice feeling when you turn off Matt Mullenweg in your head and you just use WordPress for what it is, which is what I've been doing for myself and my audience. So I read it. I think that anybody who's interested in building WordPress with AI or otherwise can go do their own thing. And whatever Matt talks about, it's just blah, 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 blah. And that's it. That's my take on it.
All right. Let's move on. So, Matt, what did you get? Any key things did you get from the interview apart from blah, blah, blah?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it was super surprising, any of the things he said. I will definitely agree with that. I definitely pay attention to what he says, since essentially I use Woo all the time. A lot of our clients are Woo. Check who's partly built on for Woo testing. But I think he brought up a few interesting things, really, which was that automatic, Matt, you know, they're recognizing that Woo needs to do more, basically, which I honestly don't think they started really pushing until like a year ago. I feel like they're realizing that they're going to lose a much larger market share than they already have. And it is internal, which is basically they need to execute stuff faster and build more features in, which is kind of part of their whole campaign to have more natively built into Woo and pushing Woo at like events, et cetera. So I think all of that was overall good news for Woo, because I think it's been somewhat ignored for many, many years as it grew kind of organically on its own without a lot of support, which isn't a bad thing for an open source product, but Shopify is definitely taking a chunk out of that. So that's kind of what I got at a high level.
So Heather, got any thoughts? Has this story got any interest for you, Heather?
I mean, what really struck me is that he was pushing back about how AI and agentic commerce, like he was trying to say that it's not a thing. And I think that that's going to change rapidly, because, I mean, as we're seeing, like, agents are starting to really take over. People are starting to ask, I mean, people are starting to create agents to do all their buying. So if WooCommerce is not set up for like agents to buy stuff on behalf of people, then it's going to fall behind. Spencer, I have agents, I can talk to my phone and tell it to go buy me a plane ticket and it will do that. So, I mean, if WooCommerce isn't set up for a store to be able to purchase things on in computer transactions, agent to agent, then it's going to keep losing.
Yeah, but you are a chief technology officer for I'll interrupt you, but if you let me just finish off, you're a chief technology officer of a reasonably large consultancy agency. You're not the average punter, are you? Let's put it that way.
But these things are being built into tools that everyone can use. And I mean, so right now, Anthropic had Claude Code, which blew up over Christmas, but within 8 days, Claude Cowork was created for anyone to use. So So Spencer, please go. He is definitely trying to say something.
I'm gonna say something. I want Mark to say his piece, and then I will let Spencer say his piece. Right. So, Mark, what did you get from this at all?
Well, I mean, starting out with what the existential threat is, and his answer is itself. Well, I think that that's true of anything. So that's kind of an obvious answer. But going beyond that, I agree with Heather. Right now, agents, you're starting to hear little people, some people say, oh, well, it's not catching on as quickly as we'd like or whatever. But once it becomes something that can be in everybody's hands all the time, it's going to change everything. And I agree that it's going to keep falling further behind if WooCommerce does not embrace it a little bit more than it has. And I'll turn it over to Spencer. I don't have much more to say other than that on that.
All right, and Spencer, what would you like to say?
I'm starting to notice I'm turning over a new leaf for you this year, John. I'm waiting. I'm raising my hand, the whole thing. Here's the thing. This is not a little rainstorm. This is not like little waves lapping the beach. His naivete or complete head in the sand about that WooCommerce part that Heather brought up is so ridiculous, because any of us who are using AI tools, and again, with Kurt as my witness, there is absolutely no way that this is just going to gradually come in. There is going to be a day when you're going to wake up and WooCommerce is completely done. And the irony of his comments, his lack of cohesive understanding, is that right now, those of us who use WooCommerce are watching while they're talking about someday we'll enable AI and LLMs and MCPs. And the rest of us already did it like 6 months ago. And what's happening is there's a wild west of people making other push a button and it does everything for you kind of solutions for people. And as Heather said, we're moving like in minutes to, hey, ChatGPT or whatever your tool is. Hey, Fernando, my guy, do this for me, buy this for me, whatever. WooCommerce takes 4 years to set up a product. If you use WooCommerce with AI, it takes 1 minute. If you use an AI agent directly, you don't have to set up WooCommerce at all. You can just bypass it. So I think he's really putting himself and the people in the WooCommerce space at risk for his naivete about how long this is going to take. But that's the blah, blah, blah I was talking about, because it's like somebody who isn't watching the same movie as you.
So, Kurt, what did you get from the interview?
I don't know what you guys are all upset about. I was very reassured by his quote that says, don't worry about that. It'll all be supported. So I don't know what you guys are worried about. Just be patient. I work with so many different people in so many different verticals, and I get it. There are the Heathers, the Spencers, the folks that use AI at a high level that know that it's already here and it's already so active. But I also work with, I'm going to say 70% of the people I work with that are like totally disconnected. Like my wife just talks to her phone and thinks it's going to do magic things, but she hasn't set up any magic things to happen yet. Like it's just that there's like this disconnect. Like there's a whole swath of people that think AI is going to take over and do a bunch of things, but they have no idea how AI is going to take over and do a bunch of things. And they're still Luddites back in the dark ages. And unfortunately for me, I'm one of those unique, maybe you should whisper to me, I'm a unicorn now. I'm like in this weird space where I kind of understand a little bit about the AI, but I also identify with my Luddite friends, and I'm just like stuck in this middle zone of half using AI and half not. And it's interesting. The comments I took from the article were completely different than you guys with the AI focus. I was kind of struck with his kind of comments about WordCamps. And if you want Woo to be there at a higher level, it's up to you. You got to ask for it. And then Katie had comments about, you know, hey, I've spoken a lot, but no one wants to hear my business talks. They just want to hear my life story at WordCamp. And that's actually what scared me away from WordCamps. You know, I volunteered to speak at WordCamps, and the feedback I got was the topics you're submitting are too business oriented. We need more, you know, feel good pieces and more diversity and stuff. And I was like, so people don't want to know how to run a successful agency? I thought that's why people came to these things. But that's why we're looking at other things like PressConf and things like that.
Right. I want to point out.
Do you guys know, by the way, that he never actually let anybody back in who got deleted last year? So, like,
I don't want to go there, Spencer. I really don't.
Saying, if you wanted to go to WordCamp, you have to do it as a pseudonym now. I have to be
fair enough.
I did want to add one thing on the AI side, which I think was interesting and worth noting, is that, and I think, Kurt, you're kind of, in a way, I'm not going to speak for you, but basically human behavior for shopping is different than people trying to generate code who have never generated code and now they can generate code. Like you could use Alexa 5 years ago and say, buy me this, but that's a very thin median. And most people are going to be like, oh yeah, just buy me the random t-shirt on Amazon. Like they want a brand, they want to know what they want to buy. Not always, but a lot of times. And in a chatbot, even if you had to go to the website, you kind of have to buy into that product unless it's just, something off Amazon that you really don't care about or you've rebought before. I think there's definitely benefits having an agentic e-commerce setup. And obviously Woo should be on the new Google supported UCP. But there's even a competitor to that standard that was made last year that Woo was on the forefront for. So I think it's the jury's still kind of out on when, in my opinion, it's going to happen with the masses, because branding and, you know, agentic basically abstracts everything out. Most people just don't buy that way, and it will take a change. So I do think they got that right. He was definitely super, though, wishy-washy about events and WooCommerce. And like, I've always thought that was kind of strange. I think it has to do with what you're saying. Like, I don't know. He doesn't like to push business, but ultimately that's why everyone's using WordPress. So there's always this kind of disconnect there. And I think that's why Woo partly maybe was ignored for so long. And even now it's kind of wishy-washy at WordCamps.
I'm not going to comment because me and Kurt are actually going to be interviewing Matt in February. I'm getting my tools
out. I think Spencer should be part of that interview.
I don't think that would be a good idea, but I'm getting my interview tool set sharpened. Put it this way, it will be a slightly different interview than the one that we've been discussing. But it will be friendly, though, and English. So let's move on, shall we? Get ready for the AI ad apocalypse. Yes, OpenAI have just issued some more information about their advertising platform, I think. So, Heather, isn't this a bit of a contradiction, because people trust AI because a lot of them think, I don't know what they think. Are they thinking? That's a good question. They think their AI buddy is their friend, but can the AI results be trusted when a company that's providing those results get a lot of their revenue from commercial advertisers? Isn't that a contradiction in basic terms, Heather?
Oh, man. So here's where, I mean, I've been warning against this for years, that like people are not going to be able to tell really when AI is... Yeah, I mean, like, we've now gotten to the point where AI has gotten real enough that you have to do a double take. We've gotten past the uncanny valley. And, I mean, like, there was the purposely bad McDonald's commercial over Christmas, where they purposely made a, like, this is terrible AI commercial, so that people would feel a little off, to show, like, oh, yeah, we need... like McDonald's, because it's real fast food. But then there's like, I mean, if every day we've got people bombarding us with like actual, I mean, there's like one news channel in Florida recently did an experiment where they replaced their actual newscast with for the entire newscast, and people didn't notice.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they did the script, the teleprompter, the everything, as if it was them really. But then, like, afterwards, the real people walked on stage, like, I mean, and then they showed that behind them the whole time it was the screen of their avatars that were performing, and then they talked to them, and it was just like, people were like, wait a second, we weren't looking at real people the whole time. And it was kind of insane. So the fact that we've gotten to the point where people don't know what they can trust, and they really don't know what they can trust, this is bad.
Yeah.
I was so wrong. So, Matt, how would you respond to what this story and what I outlined?
Yeah, I mean, I think that from the perspective of just, you know, ads from the commercial aspect, I mean, there's not really a per se downside for the companies using this. And obviously customers can't tell. So it just speeds up production. And that in itself isn't necessarily a problem. Some people argue, of course, that it could be an art form. I think that's a little bit of a stretch. Let's be honest, ads are psychological manipulation. So essentially, in my mind, it's more like social media 2.0, where, because people can't tell anymore, eventually they'll just be able to manipulate people into buying more things, use your own data against you, and personalize ads even more than they have, way easier than they have in the past. So that's a little concerning to me, because I think people already... I think there's already a ton of stats that, like, if you're on social media, you get pushed ads, you will spend more money, whether you know it or not, right? And that's kind of the whole goal of advertising since the 50s, right? But I think that is a little concerning from a psychological side. But to Heather's point, when it comes to, like, trust or politics or art, that's where I think it's actually way more dangerous and more concerning than on the ad side. I think on the ad end, it's just really going to be slowly more personalized ads that try to manipulate you into buying more things. But people won't be able to tell. People don't really care because they can't tell, it to Heather's point. And we've already surpassed that. The article even said that. I think it said they did a study and found that people thought that the AI ads were good as long as they didn't know they were AI. All right. Just like people listening to Spotify now that are listening to music that's AI generated, but they don't know when it's AI generated. But if they hear that, they don't like it. But otherwise, they don't really care. Right. Because you can't tell. So it's not great for, like, human spirit. But for ads, I mean, ads were never great, in my opinion, for the human spirit. So that's
good. Yeah. So, Mark, so you got the point that Matt has made. I restate it, you know, there seems to be naive confidence in what an AI model is suggesting that you is the best product or something. Obviously, but I suppose I could be overemphasizing that because, you know, a Google result paid placement, or if you're higher in the rank of organic, you still need to check over what's been placed in front of you. Also, I just want to add this to you, Mark. Does AI really decrease the appeal of social media platforms like Facebook? Because in general, I've been reducing it, but when I do go on it, anything you're watching video, it's probably almost all of it. A lot of it is just being AI generated. So does it reduce the effectiveness of certain social media platforms as well?
Well, I think certainly it does. For one thing, I have far fewer arguments with AI than I do on social media. So there's that. And as it turns out, I'm always right, which is also really encouraging. But my main concern really with AI advertising is it adds another layer to the what can you trust factor when you don't know if your responses are to your prompts are being driven by manipulated data due to advertisements that, even if you're on a paid tier, for instance, is the response it's going to come up with going to come up with a response is based on, hey, this particular product seems to be more popular than everything else, and so we're going to push this in its response. And so are you really getting a truly objective response to what you want? And it does just make me trust my responses less, and then I end up finding out that I spend more time going back and researching it myself, and spending less time actually trusting what I have put in front of me, and save time in the long run doing it myself to begin with. And secondly, these commercials, I go into everything now looking at it from a standpoint of, is this AI? And I will tell you, psychologically, the second that I detect anything that's AI, even if it really isn't, I lose all. I just immediately am cynical and find it untrustworthy content. I remember last year, I think it was Trivago was doing AI ads, and it was so obviously AI generated. And I went and I looked it up, and it said, yeah, we're testing the waters with AI because we know it's eventually going to become the way things go. Well, you know, I find it, I understand that they need to do advertising in order to generate revenue because they are, you know, the AI. It's been a huge money pit. And so they need to come up with ways to generate revenue. But I think that they're shooting themselves in the foot because people are going to get smarter and smarter about what to trust and what not to. There are countries that actually are including it in their school curriculums on how to detect AI, and question everything. And so we're kind of creating this ultra cynical society, like it's not already cynical enough, you know?
So Kurt, what do you reckon?
Oh, the work that I'm doing with young folks has me really rethinking how we use AI as businesses and how we do organic versus generated content. I will tell you, if I have a target audience that is younger than 30, I am avoiding AI like the plague. These are people that still like to receive postcards in the mail and buy books that they can turn pages to. It's almost like they're going backwards in time culturally as a people group. So I think it's super important to understand, you know, it's the same thing we talk about in the Membership Machine Show, Jonathan. It's who's your avatar? What's your audience? Who are you speaking to? To folks like us, let's be honest, in our age group, we're like mindless bots of our own. We have seen things come and go and we just kind of absorb it, right? And so if it matches the budget and it matches the message, you know, they're going to use it and it's going to drive sales. And so whether we like it or not, shouldn't change their use of it. It's just one of those things that's just plain and simple gonna happen. What I really take offense to, though, is like some AI bot that they've created, like those newscasters you discussed, but they're saying like, hi, my name's Bob and I use this product. I've been using it for 8 years and I love it. And it's like they're a real person and it's a real story. And like to build authority or trust with something that doesn't even exist. And that's just an out and out lie that I object to, that there should be some kind of disclaimer that says this is an AI representation of, like, you know, like in the old days when they had commercials and they said, you know, this is a reenactment by a paid actor or something. Right. But it's not, like, there's no rules yet. And it's just, I think it's really eroding the authority and the trust of all the other businesses stuck in the middle.
So Spencer, what do you reckon?
I mean, everybody's point was well taken, but I just think it would be extremely naive, given the nature of what's happening right now, to believe that for one second AI ads are going away or they're going to slow down. They're not. They're 100%. The production costs alone are going to zero to create something that used to cost millions of dollars. And weeks or months of time can be done in 5 minutes. And furthermore, agentically created. So one of the things from the previous conversation here that people have not discussed yet is we are moving forward from singular agent interaction to agentic tools, to swarm agentic. So Kimi 2.5, which is one of those alternatives to ChatGPT and stuff, just came out with a nearly free model that has a trillion tokens of context that can spawn its own swarm of other agents to do stuff. So what we're saying in layman's terms is, while everybody here is contemplating and talking about, like, I long for the days of the Super Bowl ads of blankety blank made for $1 billion, I'm like, I can press a button on Kimi 2.5 and have it create an entire Hollywood production studio with 1,000 bots for 15 cents that makes, you know, Hollywood production stuff. How can anybody realistically think that that's not the way it's all going
to
be?
Well, Spencer, I have to say I'm the world's biggest hypocrite. I have been playing with HeyGen now for 2 months and creating my own avatar, and it's amazing and it's incredible. And I've created videos that I've shown to people and they're like, we can't tell that that's not you. And I know that that's the way that it's going. So, you know, on one hand, while I'm saying I don't trust what's put in front of me, on the other hand, I'm sitting here playing with it day and night too. So, and I recognize that there's, you know, that there's no getting away from it. And it's the way that things are going.
I think the thing that everybody also understands here, and I met with a client when I went to Florida who's 80 years old, and he's really good for an 80-year-old. Like, he's progressive. He used to be a photographer. But anybody who looks behind them in the rearview mirror can understand that with all the technologies we used to have, it first was early adopter difficulty. And then over time, the interfaces got standardized, the procedures got standardized. We all have a phone, regardless of the three brands, that looks like this. It's a rectangle with glass. There used to be 65 phone types, 150 connectors. Once we get this down to, hey, my robot man, do this for me level of understanding, everybody can produce anything they want just by sort of, in layman's terms, telling their agent what they hope to have it achieve. And the agents are going to do everything else. And that, by the way, is the danger. Bless you. Because just like with the moonshot program, allegedly, you know, when they made those F1 engines for the Saturn V rocket by hand, and all those guys retired, and nobody can make them anymore, Elon Musk alone. Once we lose the human knowledge of the basic elements that are going into it, because it's easy, fast, cheap, we're all kind of like at the mercy of whatever the AI overlords are doing, because they're going to have all the control. And I'm not saying that is some silly warning. That is the reality as we are today. When you look at the job market, basic level engineers, basic level attorneys, basic level medical examiners, like doctors looking at x-rays, MRIs, they can't touch anything that the basic AI can do for free.
All right. I think that's a good place to go for our middle break. It's been a fantastic discussion. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Updating plugins and themes shouldn't feel risky. That's why over 300,000 WordPress users trust WP Rollback. With just a click, you can safely roll back any plugin or theme. No manual file uploads and no downtime. And with WP Rollback Pro, you can download premium plugins and themes. Tools like Elementor, Gravity Forms, more. Track every rollback you do with detailed activity logs. Protect your workflow and take the stress out of updates. Learn more at wprollback.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a fantastic first half. We've got some fantastic stories for the second part of the show. But before we go into them, just want to point out, if you're a freelancer, small agency owner, and you're looking for a great hosting partner, if you've got a community website, a membership, a large project, and you're looking for a great hosting and a technical partner as well, why don't you look at hosting with WP Tonic? We provide more than just great hosting. All our hosting is on Vulture. And we provide a great technical support, plus a library of some of the best WordPress technology. To find out more, go over to wp-tonic.com/partners. wp-tonic.com/partners. Let's build something special together. So let's go into the next story. Next story, which is Animator. One feels like the solution to a problem that doesn't exist. It's just a video. Animator kind of produced a little bit of ruckus about their pricing and some other changes. Where should I start with this? Let's start with Kurt. So what did you think of this story, Kurt?
Well, you're really putting me on the spot today. Elementor, I think, is one of those really great products. A lot of people use it. I used it for years, and you get excited. You buy it, you get in, you use it. And then the longer you use it, the more you second guess yourself and think, I got to get off of this thing and find something different. I'm sorry, but I totally lost trust in their in their code, their product, the reliability of updates. And, you know, if I was managing a website for myself, it would be different. But when you're managing websites for 50 clients and you've got 20 or 30 of them on this product and it's not dependable for updates and stuff, it really scared me off. And then to see kind of how they've rolled out, you know, this class-based stuff and some of their newest updates and some of their things, and then compare that to other products in a similar space, I just don't think it's up to snuff. And to be honest, I have a grandfathered price that's pretty low, and I just keep letting them charge my card every year to keep those few sites going on it. But there's no way I would jump in at $560 a year to use that tool. I'm sorry, that sounds harsh. I'm usually not a negative person like that, but you put me on the spot.
I must be growing on you, Kurt. I'm sorry, there we go. But no, I'm only joking, Kurt.
It's a great page builder for, you know, a site owner building their own project that they can update, you know, kind of willy-nilly and keep active and going. But if you're an agency and you're trying to do stuff at scale, I don't think it's the right tool.
Yeah, that's your honest opinion. Sorry, Spencer, what do you reckon?
I'm fond friends with the founders and the people that run the place, but like quite literally, this has so many problems that their own users identified. It's the last gasp of a dying machine. There are people who will never leave because, like you guys identified, some people never like look around them and see what's available. They just keep using America Online for their email and stuff. But for those that are actually doing stuff, to go into Elementor, just Elementor alone, after using the other new tools, including the AI stuff, is like literally going back to a coal-powered locomotive and trying to figure out how to do the dials and the gauges. Then they've added on top of this gigantic save our financial asses aspect of all these features that nobody asked for, nobody wanted, that are mandatory, that are on top of it. I went to a client's site this weekend that is now using AI, and they had a couple pages in Elementor. And I have to be fair, I like to think I'm pretty clever. It took me about 10 minutes just to get oriented to how to even navigate around, let alone to do a basic thing. By the time I was done figuring that out, I would have, could have, should have built 20 pages automatically by saying, hey, Fernando, do this for me. So I think they are setting the stage for their own demise. And yes, there will always be a legacy because America Online, I think we talked about, makes like $2.5 billion a year on old, you know, rural emails and dial-up. But as far as comparing it to new stuff, this is not a good signal.
Sorry, Matt. You know, I was also interested in their rebranding because they really seem to be aiming at the agency, at the professional market, rather than emphasis on the DIY market. So what's your thoughts about this, Matt?
I mean, I will preface and say, you know, I don't use Elementor a lot. We do have a lot of clients that use it. And traditionally, what I've at least always gotten out of clients is, you know, it allows them to build things themselves, you know, do it yourself very quickly. Visually, you can, you know, build things out. To some other people's points, like on this call, like it's definitely had stability issues, speed issues over the years. It's not ever known as, I would say, the cleanest builder to begin with. And I do feel like they're just kind of continuing in that direction by adding all these additional add-ons and then charging. It feels very beta to me with their AI tools. I've played with maybe like two of them, and they definitely didn't feel that they had been really entirely thought out. They're also super slow when I used it. I do think some of the things that they tried to add, like, you know, having a better image optimization and accessibility, et cetera, I think some people are asking for those things and trying to reduce the plugin. But I think that ultimately leads to just more lock-in, which I think is actually happening in WordPress anyways. If you look at the different ecosystems out there, like Fluent, Insure, et cetera, which, you know, isn't necessarily a good thing for WordPress in general, depending who you talk to. But ultimately, yeah, it felt to me kind of like AI sludge coming into Elementor more than it needed to. And on top of it, even if they want to continue down this route and kind of push, okay, we're just putting all this out here, they should have really, I think, invested heavily in UX, because now they're in this weird space where they've made the screen so complicated that agencies can't figure it out and then DIY can't figure it out. I think they definitely need to work on polishing this thing up if that's the direction they want to try to go, and picking an audience. Something they need to look on. I feel like they don't know who their audience is anymore.
Yeah. So, Mark, I think Matt made some good observations there about, you know, it's the same problem if you're on something like Kajabi. You're basically, if you wanted to move to another platform, they made it so difficult that you didn't want to do it. But I suppose with the days of AI, SaaS platforms or things like Elementor, it's going to become very easy to move to another platform. You know, you just tell your AI agent, I want all the users, I want everything, and I want to move it to this platform, and it'll do it for you. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yes, I do. And I think, I mean, for one thing, to get anyone to move from one thing to another, you have to address specific pain points. They have to feel some pain somewhere. I don't really, and I'll be the first to say, I should preface all of this with, I haven't touched Elementor in years. I remember it being bloated years ago, and I don't do a lot of web development, but I'm looking at the actual site and I just feel like I don't know what pain points it's trying to address and how it makes anything easier for the agencies to want to switch. And to someone who's either DIY or new to it, they're going to get overwhelmed because they don't know what any of it means. So I don't know how this is going to, increase their revenue or bring more customers or anything like that. I think that a lot of times people answer questions that were never asked to begin with. And this kind of feels like that to me. So that's where I'm at with it, based on what little, and once again, I don't know a lot to be able to speak on this topic other than the impression that I get looking at it right now.
So have you got any comments on this or not?
I mean, I just don't see who this is for. And I mean, that's the only thing that I can think of.
God, yeah. All right, let's move on to the next one. And I'm going to start with Heather because you probably might have more thoughts about this one. Dig returns with Trust First version of the online communities. So what did you think of this one, Heather, with Dig returning?
I mean, are we 20 years ago again? I mean, so like everything old is new again. It's, I mean, cleaner, slower, online community alternative. I mean, like, I don't know. I remember Dig, like their whole thing was like, oh, I dig this. I don't want to dig that. And I mean, it was just like a bookmarking tool. And if they're trying to build a community out of like bookmark sharing, like, okay, so there's this thing, it's the shadow internet where all like people are sharing stuff on WhatsApp and DMs and things like that. And like if Dig is coming back to try and be able to track what people are sharing on the shadow internet, then I can see that this is a thing. But the point of the shadow internet is people don't want to be tracked there.
No, I also see it as, and I'm not really criticizing, it's a play on Reddit success. But I also think the days of Reddit, you know, me and Kurt did an interview with a friend of the show recently, and he says, oh, well, he made a comment, you know, I go to Reddit, but I only look at the Reddit sort of 3 years ago before all the marketers, I thought that was quite insightful in a way. But I think it's just a... So I think Reddit's got its problems now because I mix with a lot of SEO and I consume a lot of SEO and marketing content. And Reddit's been, you know, I just think they've been overwhelmed. I think the moderators do the best they can. Yeah, that's, I don't know if I'm, so what do you reckon, Spencer? What do you reckon about this story?
I do like Kevin Rose.
Yeah.
But he's doing other stuff. He doesn't need to worry about money. He's just a good guy and he's got a kid and all these other things. So it's kind of like historically, what is the word? Nostalgic, right? To listen to him. But Dig coming back is like Excite or Yahoo or, you know, GeoCities coming back. Like it's totally unnecessary for any reason whatsoever. Because number one, I do actually find myself on Reddit quite a bit. And Reddit has its own problems. Reddit has its problems because, first of all, people, for the most part, say whatever comes to mind and they get everybody else worked up, or the person who audits the things people say intelligently removes good conversations. But now with AI bots that talk and act and can interact in the browser, you really have to take everything with a grain of salt. So the idea of people digging stuff when there's Chinese bot farms we see all the time where there's like 2,000 phones and it's just logging in and doing stuff, it seems pointless. I think what's really more relevant is that if people wanted to do an interaction, they should have some way, sorry for my voice, that allows you to validate you're a real person and interact with real people. Like literally what we're doing now, I would be more interested in a place I could go and I could see validated real people, like leaving, like Spencer talking on the screen about something with a transcript, because at least then I know it's not fake. And by the way, I want to love Facebook still because it's a primary use for my business. Just go to anything political on Facebook and you can 1,000% see 99% of those are just automated bots. They're just fake. And I've just sort of checked out of that now because of the lack of credibility or accountability.
So what do you reckon, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I loved Dig back in the day. I was huge on Dig. And I left after the redesign, went to Reddit, never looked back. I think I tried the new Dig beta. I'll be honest, technically it was a disaster. I wasn't the only one. I could not even get signed up. It kept throwing bugs and errors. So I don't really feel great about what they did when they released it. They took forever to get it to the public. And then I was Googling on, you know, and looking on Reddit, trying to find why I couldn't sign up and everyone had similar issues for very basic things. So it's not looking good. I kind of agree with Spencer, which is if they're going to do this, they should literally make you validate who you are entirely. Doing a half thing where, oh, you have to verify you bought something. Reddit can do those things if they really want. And that's not going to disrupt their whole business model. But Dig could take that risk all the way and be like, okay, you need to validate who you are. We're not going to charge you to do this, unlike something like Twitter. Because otherwise, I don't see how they can hit critical mass. That's just never going to happen. Dig came from a different time where half the people, more than half people, don't even know who they are. I mean, look, Vote has been a competitor in the space, which I tried out from Reddit, and it had two issues. It could not hit critical mass. And then if it tries to make niches, let's be honest, most of those niches it's making are not advertiser friendly or server friendly or legal friendly. So then you kind of have that whole weird chicken and the egg. So they'd have to go like super aggressively, I think, on who you are, which of course is its own argument if you should do that or not. But I'm kind of a big fan of there being more to that if we're going to have social media at least validate everyone. So if Dig did that, I think it'd be great. Otherwise, I don't see how this is going to happen, to be unfortunately kind of harsh about it, because I loved Dig, but I don't see it going anywhere.
You're right, Kurt, for me to go on to the next story, or do you want to say anything about this, or can I go on to the next story, Kurt?
No, you can go on, because I didn't have time for Dig. I was too busy maintaining my active account on MySpace.
Yeah, there we go.
Here we go.
Next story, it's from WP Tut. Paul always produces some interesting stuff. I told him I still use WordPress. His reaction blew my mind. What do you reckon about this one, Mark?
So I watched this video last night, and so I'm trying to remember. This is the guy that was like, WordPress is still around. What's the response?
Well, I don't know for sure, because it was his guest. I forgot who the guest was, and the guest said we used to build a lot of websites for a SEO agency, and he wouldn't name the individual, but I put two and two together, and I know who he was talking about, and that particular principle is a very popular SEO training organization, and they closed down their SEO agency, and they're just concentrating on training people through their membership, and he's big in utilizing AI to build the websites. Mm-hmm. So I don't know for sure, because he wouldn't name the client, which for obvious reasons, but I kind of put two together. I was just interested in what they were saying, basically, Mark.
Well, as I remember the video, the client was, like you said, trying to use AI for everything, and suggesting that WordPress is no longer relevant. And I don't know. I think that hasn't always been that way. It's always been kind of WordPress is still a thing. And yes, it is, but a lot of people don't know it. So, I don't really have a huge opinion on this one, because I feel like it's not really anything new in the WordPress space.
Right. So I don't know if you why I chose this story, Spencer, because you're still big in WordPress, but you're big in AI. What was your response to this, and do you think WordPress in the next couple of years will have any relevance?
Yes. The way I view it is WordPress provides a platform. If you look at Node.js or React or any of these things, there's hosting companies that now are putting together essentially packages of services software so you can ready to go, press a button and have the place where your agentic tools can produce output. It's the land on which your agents build your business. WordPress provides one of the most unique opportunities in that regard, because as a 20-year legacy of the good old-fashioned vintage stuff all the way up to the new stuff, and you can own it and control it. Of all the things Matt did wrong, that's the thing he did right, is that he stuck to the open source nature of this and didn't stick his thumb in that pie. So what I think WordPress is a locked box that anyone can own and control for pennies on the dollar, with a brand new CDN optimized hosting, and then using agentic tools, we build the things from the vanilla coding world of the exciting stuff and put it into that box. That to me is the recipe for success. I think that this video is funny because these two geezers like me, they're like, those kids today with their electric bikes and their gas part, they're just unrealistic to say LLMs have reached their whatever. We've just started with AI. The issue is, will any of the interface tools of WordPress exist? And on that point, my bet is no, because I've already demonstrably removed 122 plugins from the stack and left the box of WordPress. Pièce de résistance of results. You get everything you wanted without having to go buy shovels and do it yourself, but it's being built using WordPress at the core.
Yeah, I see where you're coming. So, Heather, I always look at business, I always call it pinch points. And the pinch points always move. You know, to build a SaaS product, you just needed, either you need to be a really fantastic developer or needed a lot of resources. Obviously, development costs, I think, is going to diminish. So that pinch point disappears to some degree, but then the pinch point moves somewhere else if to have a successful business. Hopefully you follow what I'm saying. I don't know if you had time to watch that video. What's your reaction to it? And secondly, where do you think the pinch points are going to move?
I mean, basically, I think there's a place for a Squarespace, a Wix, a WordPress. Mm-hmm. Like, there's always going to be a place for that kind of thing because, I mean, those tools are always going to adapt to the market. Whether it looks like what it looks like now, that is up in the air. But, I mean, Microsoft doesn't, like, Windows doesn't look like what it did 40 years ago, but it's still around. So with a tool like WordPress that is built on open source with a community of people that are building into it and they're adapting and the developers that are building into it. And I mean, yes, Automattic is the company that's selling it, but it's still built on a huge open source community. I think it's just going to continue to adapt, which will continue to allow an open source community of people to adapt it to the current market.
Yeah, and I think, the last week you've had all this about Clawbolt, haven't you, and all the controversy around that, great idea, but the security consequences, are quite daunting. So it's nice to have flexibility, but have something that is established, isn't it, Heather?
Yeah, I mean, Clawbolt was set up as a guy's hobby project, and the main thing that, I mean, when you've got something like that, the people adopt and they don't understand what they're doing, and they're launching this on Hetzner or some cloud server, and they're not developers and they have no idea what they're doing, and that it's not necessarily that the security of a project like that isn't good, it's that people are setting things up and don't know how to secure it, so with WordPress it's exactly the same thing. WordPress is what it is and has the ability to be secured. But if you don't have a developer that can secure things properly and develop it properly, then you're always going to need people that know how to use the software or the tool to help you configure it. So you can get started. You can use something out of the box. But if you want to use it properly, you need an expert. And so, yeah, no matter what it is, I think there's a business. So the pinch point line changes.
Yeah. All right. I think we're going to wrap it up now. So, Heather, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to, Heather?
You can find me at Heathriel everywhere. And even ask ChatGPT, look for Heather Renzi, Heather Wild Renzi, it will tell you who I am.
Yeah. Matt, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Definitely check out inspiree.com or agency or checkview.io if you haven't. I'm trying to also be more active on LinkedIn. So you can find me under Matt Swartz there.
Spencer, what's the best way to find out more about you?
WPLaunchify.com or Spencer Foreman on the socials.
And Mark, what's the best way to find out more about you?
You can find me hanging around MainWP a lot of the time. You can find me on LinkedIn, Mark Benzacane. I think I'm the only one there still. And then Mark Benzac on all the socials. And that's Mark with a C.
That's fantastic. And if you want to support the show, folks, and support our sponsors, go to the WP Tonic YouTube channel and subscribe there. Or if you're listening to this podcast on your mobile device on Spotify or iTunes, leave a review. They're the best way to support the show. And both me and Kurt be very appreciative if you could do that. We will be back next week with a fantastic guest interview. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.